This morning we're reading from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. And I'm reading from the NRSV. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There remains a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodabar." The king David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. David said, "Mephibosheth." He answered, "I am your servant." David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table always." He did obeisance and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I am?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons, your servants, shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food to eat. But your master's grandson Mephibosheth shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
I want to thank you, Pastor Malcolm, for the opportunity to share the word of God. And I have a message titled, "Viennes of the Kingdom." Pastor Malcolm has been teaching us about the kingdom, at least for this year. That's all I've had in this church. And I've also somehow found myself being led by the Lord to teach about the kingdom. Last year, around December, I was ministering in our church in Nigeria and doing a kind of evangelistic meeting. And somehow I began to preach about the kingdom, and I noticed that the atmosphere was a bit still. It wasn't like anything was going on, and I felt to myself there was no response. I preached through the whole thing. I mean, once you're a preacher, you're a preacher. I just preached through the whole thing. And I went home and I started crying to the Lord, "What's going on? You know, why am I not getting any response to that message and everything?" And the Lord said, "It's because the church is not really in tune with the kingdom. And from now on, I want you to teach on the kingdom." I didn't know that this was what was going on in London. But when I came to London, I was told that Pastor Malcolm said, "I'm teaching only about the kingdom." So this is so, so important that, you know, we're just right on the money here. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge you this morning. This word is going to be a short word, but I want to challenge you to lift your faith, to have expectation, to believe that the Lord can turn around your life. Amen? The Lord can turn around your life. There is nobody in this room or anybody listening to me across the network whose life is stuck that God cannot change. There is nobody in this place who God cannot make your messed up life into a beautiful life. I've seen God walk in mysterious ways. What is a vignette? Let me quickly jump into the message. What is a vignette? A vignette is basically a short story, a slice of life. You know, I used to be an advertising executive, and one of the things we do when we're creating campaigns is we write stories based on slice of life. So a vignette is like a slice of life. It shows you in microcosm a larger picture. Are you with me? So in the story that we're going to be looking at today, we're going to be looking at the story of Mephibosheth. And you are going to see many things about the kingdom. I so thank God for the teachings we have received. The responsive week was very important for me personally. I really got a lot out of it. And I've read the book Flipped. And also that book has been a blessing to me. I've read a lot of books on the kingdom and I've been in the kingdom for a long time. But God is doing something new. Amen? God is doing something new. I really believe that this message is going to bring about a reformation in the church. I really believe it. That once we embrace the kingdom, things are going to change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me give some caveats on the kingdom of God. Some caveats quickly. Number one, the kingdom of God is the realm of God's rule. We know that. The kingdom of God is invisible. You can't see with the natural eyes. It's not physically palpable like that. It's a spiritual kingdom, and yet it has much impact in the physical realm. Thirdly, the kingdom of God is invisible. Invincible. Which means it's undefeatable. You can't defeat it. It's the most powerful kingdom, continues to be the most powerful kingdom, and will forever be the most powerful kingdom. Say amen to that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I like this word because when I look at it from the Hebrew, I get a lot of meaning. The word righteousness, the word tzedek, which means uprightness. It means the ability to stoop down and lift up the needy. The ability to care, justice, equity. And when you look at the word peace, it's the word shalom. Shalom is not just physical peace. Shalom is well-being. It is the nothing missing, nothing broken, covenant blessings of God in a person's life. Amen? And today I declare shalom over you. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says it is joy in the Holy Spirit. The word joy here is the word shimkar. And it is the inner quality that enables you to go through even hard times without really breaking down. Are you with me? When you have the joy of the Lord, it's like strength in you. It is not based on external circumstances. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on what anybody tells you. It is something God has placed deep within you. Praise the Lord. Somebody receive joy today in Jesus' name. The kingdom of God is always advancing. You know, this morning the Lord told me, get on board the bus of the kingdom and you will not be stuck. Praise the Lord. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. If you get into the kingdom, you will not be stuck. Because the kingdom is always moving. Nice to see Gina. Hello, Gina. The kingdom of God is all powerful. There's no kingdom more powerful than the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is everlasting, is eternal, and will last forever. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God has citizens, and all its citizens are kings and priests. Look at yourself. See, I'm a priest and I'm a king. I know some of you don't feel royal this morning, but I'm telling you, you are more royal than you can ever believe. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Praise the Lord. And we're going to look at these things as the days goes on. We're going to look at our kingliness. We're going to look at our priestliness. And we're going to see how this translates to the world and how we operate within these systems. The kingdom of God has a constitution. And the constitution is the Bible. But I want to say that the Sermon on the Mount is what I call the spine of the kingdom. And then the Beatitudes, I will call that the heart of the kingdom. And I, as I study this, these are just my definitions, but there are things that makes me to be able to grasp what I'm studying. The kingdom of God has a king. Amen? I know you know. What is his name? Jesus. What is his name? Jesus. I want to try to give you a bit of a CV of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, whether things on earth or things in heaven, whether they are physical, whether they are spiritual, thrones, rulers, powers, dominions, all things were created by him and for him. And the Bible says in him all things hold together. The Bible says that he may have the preeminence in all things. There is no one like Jesus. There is no name like Jesus. There is no power like the power of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Let's wake up. Come on. Jesus is Lord. He rules over all. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on quickly to the story of Mephibosheth. We've had the reading. Thank you so much for reading for us. It was a very good reading. So I'm not going to read through. But I want to deal with just a few points from Mephibosheth's story about the kingdom. Number one, the Bible says, now David said, is there anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? In the kingdom of God, our king is always the initiator. He starts everything. I remember once I don't want to tell too many stories because it takes time, but I was once in Jerusalem, and then the Lord was ministering to us in the upper room where we were praying. And he said, Charles, I want you to dance with me. I want you to dance with me. And me, I'm a bit of a shy person. I don't like all this dancing stuff. But he said, dance with me. So I said, okay, what should I do? He said, take my hand. There was nobody physical there, but he said, take my hand. So I reached out, and I felt like somebody actually pulled me. And he said, just follow me. And I was dancing with the Lord. And from that moment onwards, he told me something. He said, look, Charles, always wait for me to initiate. Amen? And I learned a lesson. In the kingdom of God, our king is the initiator. David told people, is there anybody left? Amen? It always starts with him. He went to look for him. Jesus told us parables. Parable of the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. They're all about God seeking the lost. Amen? Our king is looking for you. Our king comes looking for you. And I remember in the Old Testament, in Genesis, God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? God is always looking for his people. Amen? God is always looking for his people. In the story of the prodigal son, there's a story of the father that he was always looking out, waiting for his son to come back home. God is waiting for his children to come back to him. You know, he's not chasing anybody away. He's not angry at us. He's fully satisfied by the cross of Jesus Christ. He loves us unconditionally, and all he wants is for us to come back to him. Praise the Lord. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but there might be somebody in this room, and you're telling me, oh, I've done too much. God can never accept me. God can never accept me. Let me tell you something. You cannot sin yourself outside the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood still covers you. There is redemption for you in the power of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Let's move on very quickly. The name Mephibosheth means shame. It means shame, or breathing shame, or obliterating shame. He had a very bad story, and you can read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 4. This boy, about 4 or 5 years old boy, you know, when the disaster struck the house of Saul, his nurse was trying to take him away to escape and mistakenly dropped him, and he became lame in both feet. Some of us, our trials and our challenges in life may not be something we did ourselves. It may be just circumstances of our birth, circumstances of our parenthood, whatever it is. But I have to tell you, God still has a plan, even in all that. He was living in a place called Lo Debar. And Lo Debar simply means, in Hebrew, the word Lo means no. And Debar actually is an English word they are saying here, but Hebrew is Davar. And it just means no word. There's no revelation. There's no insight. There's no hope. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but you might be in a place of no word. You might be in a place of no revelation. You might be in a place of no future. But I'm telling you, Jesus has a plan for you. Praise the Lord. God knows where you are. God knows where you are. God knows who you are. God knows your history. He knows your proclivities. He knows your bent. When I got saved, one of the things that God began to share with me was that, Charles, I know you. And I know everything you've been through. And I know your kinks and your quirks. And I know your undoneness. I know where you are weak. I know where you are strong. I know what you have. I know what you don't have. Just trust me to make it right for you. And over the years, God has been fixing me. I'm not the perfect picture yet. But I'm on the way to it. And so are you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We don't qualify for the kingdom of God because we're strong. We don't qualify because we're excellent. We qualify because God loves us. We qualify because of His grace, because of His mercy. God's provision precedes your predicament. Did you hear that? It doesn't matter what you have gone through. It doesn't matter what you are going through. I can tell you, the provision of God has been before you go into that situation. All you need to do is open your eyes and receive it. The Bible says they looked to Him and they were radiant and they were not ashamed. Let me go to my next slide. Please put up my next slide. Yes, I like this slide. I put it there for you specifically. And don't say you are hungry this morning, please. I used to preach a lot about this, that God can unscramble a scrambled egg. You know, if you scramble an egg, you can't unscramble it. Amen? But God can unscramble a scrambled egg. In my language, we call it awamaridi. That is God that you can never understand the depths of what He can do. So your scrambled egg life, not only can God unscramble it, but He can turn it to a sunny side up life. Amen? Amen? I'm not joking. This is not preaching. This is the truth. I don't know about you, but I was pretty messed up. I was scrambled and more than scrambled. And yet God unscrambled it. Praise the Lord. And made the parts fit together. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what mess you are in. I know someone who can fix it. I know someone who will fix it. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next slide. In the kingdom of God, the kingdom is a covenant kingdom. It's a covenant kingdom. David said, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." This word kindness is the word chesed. I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly. John can help me with that. Because you have to use chesed. I don't know how to do that. But what does it really mean? What does it mean in Hebrew? It means to be kissed by God. And not just any kiss, but a kiss to the heart. And when God kisses your heart, it stays with you. It does not leave again. Praise the Lord. How many have been kissed by God? I've been kissed by God. Sometimes you just start crying. You don't know why you're crying in His presence. He's kissing your heart. Praise the Lord. And somebody today, that's your answer. You need the kiss of God over your heart because your heart has been smashed or broken in many pieces. But Jesus will fix that heart by just chesed. In the kingdom, the covenant has nothing to do with us. Hello? It's not a conditional king covenant that I have to do something to fulfill it. It is God that works it. It's God that maintains it. It's God that upholds it. All He wants me to do is believe. Just trust Him. Amen? And this is what God is speaking to you this morning. We're brought in by covenant. We're redeemed by covenant. We're sustained by covenant. God is more committed to keeping you than you ever can imagine. He's more committed to looking after you than you can ever imagine. The Bible says those who have been far away, He brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come close to Jesus. Come close to the Lord. Come close to the Lord. Next one is restoration. Restoration. So David said, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." David took Mephibosheth out of Lodiba and brought him to Jerusalem. He restored all the lands of Saul. Who does that? Let me tell you the story, because maybe you don't understand this. Saul was the enemy of David. He wanted to kill him for most of his life. And most times when a new king comes in, he kills all the descendants of the old king. So Mephibosheth was in the place of an enemy. But David said no. Manifesting the heart of God. God doesn't want to destroy anybody. The Bible says God doesn't want any man to perish. God loves human beings more than we can ever imagine. Sometimes I'm amazed because I want to say, oh, Lord, how can you love that person? But God loves the person. And God expects me to love the person too. In which kingdom have you heard that it is said, love your enemies? And yet that's what Jesus told us to do. Love your enemies. Look at your neighbor, say, that's a bit tough. But by the grace of God, I can do it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In the kingdom of God, God transfers us from dominion of darkness into his own marvelous kingdom. The kingdom of the Son that he loves. This is a miracle. But also we get restored. We get restored into the estate that God had planned for us. Adam lost it, Jesus restored it, and we get to live in it. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but me, I get excited when I see these things. They excite me. See, I didn't do anything about this. It's like it just fell into my laps. A whole kingdom, an eternal kingdom, all-powerful kingdom. Nobody can defeat our kingdom. And yet, I didn't do anything about it. I just got into it. I don't know about you, but this one is worth giving Jesus a round of applause for. It's worth thanking him for it. Restoration. The God of restoration. He restores not just to what you had, or better than what you had. Restoration has a glory about it. Next slide. He told Mephibosheth, he said, you shall eat bread at my table continually. And in that passage, it was said four times. Why? Because God wants to get a message across to us. The kingdom of God is not just about forgiveness. It's not just about God washing away our sins. All these things are beautiful. But it's also about restoration to sonship. And when David brought Mephibosheth to Jerusalem and sat him at his table, it's a picture of you and I at the table of our God. See, this morning we had communion. We were at the table. You know, we were at the table. This table is laden with all kinds of blessings, all kinds of favors. I was reading the other day about the table of Solomon. My God, go and study it. That table was incredible, but it is not compared to the table of our God. And you and I have now got a place at the table. Amen? Listen to me. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. You know, my wife always says something. She said, Charles, God always tells me we're eating the crumbs. But now I'm understanding that the kingdom, when we embrace the kingdom, we will eat the food on the table. Tell our neighbor, no more crumbs. No more crumbs. Crumbs are for those who don't know God. Amen? The real food is on the table. And we are called to partake of it. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. In Nigeria, we have a tradition. I don't know whether we got it from the British, but we have a tradition. When we have a special event, are you with me? We have what we call a high table. All right? And if you are a dignitary, they will bring you to the high table and ask you to sit on the high table. Are you with me? That means you are special. Let me tell you something. All of us are called to sit on the high table of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me move on because of time. You have a seat at the table. Tell your neighbor you have a seat at the table. I have a seat at the table. Tell your neighbor, please, you have a seat at the table. And for somebody today, that is a reserved seat for you. Your name is on that seat, but you are not there yet. So today, you will make a decision that will help you to take your seat at the table. We miss you at the table. Tell your neighbor, I miss you at the table. If you are not on the table, I miss you. Come to the table of the Lord. Two more things. We're raised to sonship. We're raised to sonship. He said, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. This is not to be taken lightly. Because what David was telling Mephibosheth is this. You are going to partake in everything to do with the government. Because the table is where the affairs of the society and the nation are being discussed. Wow. You mean God wants to discuss nations with you? Yes. God wants to discuss what's going to happen in England with you? Yes. God wants to discuss what's going to happen in Africa with you? Yes. He wants to bring you into counsel. And he wants you to even bring your own ideas too. And let's talk about it. Let's discuss state affairs. Amen? This is what we have been given. We have been raised to a place of sonship, of ownership. The Bible says he raised us up and sat us together with him. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly move on. Beware of the dead dog spirit. Because Mephibosheth said, what do you have to do with a dead dog as I? And I know this. I know this dead dog spirit. I used to have this dead dog spirit. This dead dog spirit that says, you are not worthy of it. You know, you are not qualified for it. And you start to struggle with yourself. I can tell you stories of how this thing manifested in my life until God healed me. You don't believe you deserve anything. And of course, we don't deserve anything. And yet, we have been made to be deserving. Because we qualify because of Christ. Now, some of you may be at the table and they will serve the food and you say, I'm not hungry. You know that kind of stuff. I'm not hungry. Meanwhile, you are very hungry. I'm not thirsty. Meanwhile, you are very thirsty. There are things on the table that is for you, but you say, pass. Because you are a bit self-conscious. We have to come to the table and partake of the table. And not be, unnecessarily, the false humility. The false humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. This is what C.S. Lewis says, and I like the definition. Don't be unnecessarily, ungodly humility. It's not the right humility. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, come to the table. Feast at the table. Bible says he set the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. My last point today is that at the table, your lameness is covered. The Bible said Mephibosheth ate continually at the king's table and he was lame in both feet. This table is a table of grace. It's not a table where you are exposed. It's not a table where you are shamed. It's not a table where you are disgraced. It's not a table where God does not understand you have struggles. You are still struggling. Amen? I don't think there's anybody in this room who is still not struggling. We're not perfect, but we have been made perfect. The Bible says, by one offering, he perfected forever those who have been sanctified. Tell your neighbor, I'm still being sanctified, but I am perfect. At the table, nobody sees your crippled legs. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you are covered at the table. And this is one of the beautiful things about the kingdom, is that God covers us. He covers our shame. He covers our nakedness. He covers our brokenness. And he loves us regardless of who we are. This morning, let me stop here. I want to thank God for you. And I want you to please close your eyes. There's someone in this room that God sent me to preach this message to. You have been struggling. You've thought of your life as a messed up life. You've thought you've wasted everything. But Jesus is here this morning to redeem you, to save you, to help you, to bring you in. All he's asking for is for you to say yes.